Jesus tells us, whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me. Our Christian faith demands witness. You can't have Christ in your heart and not show it. And if you're not showing it, then you don't have Christ in your heart. Our faith is not passive. I was sharing with some of the people I was in that pilgrimage to Fatima and Lourdes, and in Fatima, they were getting ready for the 100th anniversary, and the crowds were coming and coming and coming, and the prayers were said in every language you could imagine. You cannot suppress Christian witness. And you see the same thing in the Basilica of Our Lady of Guadalupe. You see the same thing at the Vatican, at St. Peter's. You cannot suppress your faith. Our faith is not passive. It has to reveal itself, just like God has to reveal himself to us. It begins with faithfulness and obedience to the sacramental life of the church. The world is not favorable to Christian witness. We're fully aware that the world doesn't hate us exactly personally, but hates Jesus first, and therefore hates us if we are of Jesus. If you think the world hates you, know for certain that it does, but it hated Jesus first. It's always been this way from the very beginning with early persecution of the church. Now, a lot of Christians try to find some type of compromise with the world. You can't do it. Don't try. All you'll end up doing is becoming lukewarm. Live your faith fully in the sacramental life of the church. The deacon Philip was one of the first seven deacons of the Jerusalem church. Saul, we know as St. Paul, was one of the earliest and most ferocious and aggressive persecutors of the new church. He was responsible for the persecution and deaths of many Christians in the Jerusalem church, and was spreading out his work going to other places in the Middle East when he had his conversion. But he was persecuting the church of Jesus Christ. And that persecution had profound consequences and far-reaching effects. Saul, or our Paul, was a really aggressive in his persecution, leading to many deaths and prisoners, and he hunted down early Christians, and that reputation of his would haunt him for a long time. Wherever he went into the Jewish world and coming back to Jerusalem, people were trying to kill him later on after his conversion. We read in Acts of Paul's participation in the stoning of the first martyr of the church, the proto-martyr, St. Stephen, a brother deacon ordained with Philip by the apostles. And apparently that death of St. Stephen marked a particularly brutal time of persecution for the church, and Christians fled. They went everywhere. They went in all different directions. And they got out of Dodge. They had to leave town. And that's why we encounter Philip preaching in Samaria. It's north of Jerusalem. Now, this episode allows us to see some of the earliest developments of the sacraments in this infant church. During this time of persecution, things were getting worked out. The sacraments were beginning to fall into place for people. Remember, Jesus didn't leave an instruction book. It took about 200 years for the Bible to finally be formed. And it took the church a while to see the importance of the Holy Spirit in our sacraments. You're going to see this here. Philip's preaching had led to many baptisms in Samaria. However, the church was still very young. We're talking about the year about 36. Now, if you think that Jesus was crucified, died, and rose from the dead between the year 30 and the year 33, then if this happened with this martyrdom of St. Stephen and this ministry of St. Philip in the year 36, we're talking really, really early in the church. They didn't have popes. They didn't have cardinals. They didn't have missals, but they were doing the Mass every single Sunday. They were baptizing. They were beginning to get it together. They didn't quite fully understand the role of the Holy Spirit in all of these things. Philip didn't do anything wrong in baptizing only with water and in the name of Jesus, because he didn't know any better. The whole church was still trying to figure this out. The church hadn't worked out that, and the Gospels were still 30 or 40 years in the future. They weren't written until we estimate sometime between the year 70 and the early 90s when St. John finally finished his. However, we begin to see how the Apostolic Church began to discover the nature, the critical nature of the Holy Spirit in the sacraments and in the life of the church. When the apostles learned that Philip had only baptized with water in the name of Jesus, the apostles Peter and John were sent by the other apostles, go take a look and see what's going on. And so they sent them specifically to go up and see if the people had been baptized with the Holy Spirit, and they had not. They'd been baptized in the name of Jesus. And what we're going about to see is the early formation of the sacraments of baptism and confirmation. The Gospels had not been written. We didn't have yet Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's Gospel gives us, 30 years later, the words of Jesus, where Jesus told his disciples when he commissioned the church before his ascension, he said, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." So we're baptized into the Holy Trinity. Before the end of the first century, the whole church had already worked out the beginning of the theology of the Holy Trinity. We're not just baptized into Jesus. We're baptized into God. We're baptized into Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So the disciples came and baptized the Samaritans in the Holy Spirit. Now they were fully integrated into the church. Every one of you have received baptism by water and the Holy Spirit. The church was learning to see that you can't have a sacrament without the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit was living in the church. And the church was teaching, "Whoever has my commandments," as Jesus said, "and observes them is the one who loves me." You know, you can actually examine your own spiritual maturity. How well are you doing at following God's commandments? If you're not doing a very good job, then you can't really claim to be loving God. It just goes with the order, like in the order of a family. We in a family learn how to keep things together, how to keep things in their place and keep them organized. And we keep the commandments of the family. The lesson of all this is trust the teaching of the church. The church worked it out. It took a while. The family of the church isn't a church of rules. It's a church of love. It's a church of family. And within the family, we follow some guidelines. Stand firm in your faith as you learned it from the church. And here we are coming to the end of the Easter season. This coming Sunday, we celebrate Jesus' ascension to the Father. And then the next Sunday, the Feast of the Pentecost in 2 weeks. And as we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit into the church, it's something we learn now to mark, to see, to recognize that we're Trinitarians. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we learn to love God by learning His commandments and following His commandments.